Let's do this. Let's do that. Okay. Good morning, everyone. So, welcome to the regulars and the new regulars and the old regulars. Good to see everybody. We are, the truth is, I can post in this chat. I'm going to do that right now. I should have done that earlier. I'm going to post. Actually, I'm not going to post. It's going to take me too long. But I will be able to send a PDF of this book to everybody. It's in some chat somewhere that you can download, but I don't know if everybody has access to it at this point in time. So, but anyways, I'm going to read, and that'll be good for now. And then afterwards, I'll send it to you. Okay, we're on page 132. We're in the middle of the laws of Kashrut, and we're going to talk about having two different sinks today. That is today's topic. Now, we're going to see there's going to be certain fundamental principles that are going to be quite important. Again, I think you're familiar with most of them, but there's a few very interesting, fundamental, but each of these two opinions are going to highlight a different concept that I think is worthwhile. The first one is Rav Moshe Feinstein. I mentioned Rav Moshe Feinstein grew up in the Lower East Side. He was essentially the chief rabbi of New York for decades until he passed away. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a great tshuva about how do you deal with only one sink from a kashrut perspective. How do you deal with it? So he says, and I'll read a little and I'll jump around. He says the following. He says, listen, how do you deal with washing dishes? So it's source 41. He says, after all, I'm going to highlight a few issues. Issue number one. And by the way, the assumption is obviously you're not going to wash milk and meat dishes together. That's what he's saying is an assumption. But he says, what about in terms of the actual sinks that could absorb the meat taste and milk taste? So, for example, now it's breakfast time. I'm washing my dairy dishes. Tonight, I'll wash my meat dishes, right? What about the idea there of, my dairy milk entering the sink in the morning, and then a few hours later for dinner, when I have my meat dishes, I'm going to be, scrubbing or washing, and there'll be hot water. What about the milk taste that was embedded inside the walls of the sink? What about then being coming out later in the evening and entering my meat dishes? He says, is that something we need to be concerned about? So he says, for sure, the same sink is a problem because there's residue of the meat and the milk and the places that he said, that's a problem. He says he doesn't like that at all. So he lists in the first opening paragraph all potential problems. I listed a couple of them. So he goes and he says, let me just get to it. One second. He says, so briefly, we're going to the last paragraph. One should be careful to meladiach sham kilchatchila beofen sheshitu famayim akilim al a sink. By the way, I love Rav Moshe Feinstein. You know what he calls a sink in Hebrew? A sink. But the ever lo hayashayach leesur. He said, listen, you should not wash dishes there if you're going to rinse one, from the other. When the water that you're going to be washing back and forth. He says you should obviously have to change the water. You can't use the same water. That's a given. The fact that he entertains this concept is fascinating. But he says, really, what you should be machmir and do the following. What should you do? Machmir l'chadchila v'kol shekein. Ideally, should do it. You should what? Aim v'dichin b'sink goofy. You shouldn't wash them in the same sink ever. But he says, what should you do? You should rotate racks. Oh, there you go. That's what I wanted to highlight. He says you should put a rack. So you have a rack for meat and a rack for milk. That will allow your pot never to rest on the bottom of the sink, but rather be elevated, half an inch. And he says that. He says it's sufficient. And he says this way they're never touching the sink. Right? And he says that's what to do. Why? Because what's he trying to say here? He says if they're not touching, so what's happening? My, I'm having a breakfast, let's just say hot. I'm having hot pasta for lunch, a cheesy pasta for lunch. And as I'm washing my pot out, water is splashing on the soap and this and that. And then later on, 6 hours later, my meatballs. He says, nope. He says he's not concerned. Because he says the amount will be so little that it actually gets into the wall. And besides, your pot is not really touching the sides of the wall. It touches it a little bit. He's not worried about a little bit of a touch. Not concerned. That's what he says. And, oh, where it's resting? He says where it's resting has been elevated on a rack. So since it's been elevated on a rack and not touching the bottom, he feels it is actually okay. And he says, that's what you should be machmir to do. Isn't that amazing? Right? And he says, really, you can't tell me that it's not kosher if you don't put it on a rack. But he says the custom he recommends put in a rack. That's what he says. There's a dissenting opinion. Minchas Yitzchak, he says he doesn't even like, he doesn't, he likes, you need what's called, what's classic referred to as a basin. You need only one sink. He doesn't like pots touching walls. He doesn't like forks and spoons potentially touching a wall. He says he doesn't like racks. It's not enough. He wants it to be literally engulfed in its own separate plastic bin. That's what he says. And then, oh, what do? You can, I guess, you can cut a hole. You can cut a small hole at the bottom for it to drain in the bin. He thinks that's okay. But he says that's what you should do. Okay, that's the and that's what to do. You can drain it out because he says he's too worried about splashing. Let's turn the page. Sefer Kashrut on page 134. He says, "Mitzbach kasher. If you want a kosher kitchen, you should ideally install two separate sinks. Echad l'shimush b'suri, one for meat and one for milk. The hitter, if you want to then have a more of a higher standard, two different sides of the kitchen. Right? Again, in an apartment, that's not always very practical. Right? Not always very practical. But in a house, let's say." For a bais neman b'Yisrael, right? You can have it on two different sides. Or kum l'archik b'neham, or some type of distance. Now, what about kirmus v'chim zel hazeh? What about the sinks are next to each other? I have in my basement kitchen, which is a quasi-Pesach kitchen. It's not really, because we also use it a little bit during the year. The sinks are right next to each other. That's the way it was made. So, by someone who I love very much. It's my mother. So the two sinks that are next to each other, what do? So he says here, Nachon lahatziv b'nehem mechitza. Should put up, and I'm sure you've seen this before, maybe a plexiglass, right? Of like that's a few inches. This way, if there's any splashing back and forth, there's like a wall. The mechitza, there's like a wall. And I have seen that. You see that in a few different places, especially in places where the kitchen is not that large. Right, our kitchen basement obviously is not that big.
What about the plexiglass that's covering the one sink? What about
that? Okay. So very good. So that's exactly what we do in the basement. That we don't have a wall because it's like super annoying to have a wall, right? And it's also very expensive. So what you can do is, and he's going to say that too. You can also have a what's it called? Like it's out of a glass. I'm not the right name for it. Is it plexiglass? Is a better name for it? What's it called? Whatever, it's like a plexiglass. It's like a big cutting board. Oh, that's it's like a cutting board, right? Is that what you use, Rio? Lost you. Okay, fine. Anyways, I've seen that too.
That's what I use.
Yeah, right, exactly. But a cutting board. And you flip it. I'll tell you what drives me nuts. Which side is meat, which side is milk? So one side was flat and one side was like a little bumpier. That's what we try to remember, which was meat and milk in our old house. Yeah, our old house, because on Gelcrest, there's a smaller kitchen, so yeah, nobody's gonna have separate sinks on different parts of the kitchen. So that's exactly what you do, exactly. So essentially, it's the same thing. In fact, that's even better than mechitza. Mechitza, in theory, you can splash over. I mean, unless mechitza is going to the top of your, top of your kitchen, which I think is gonna happen. So, and then he says. Better to have different faucets for each sink. So I think sometimes you have that, not always. Also to have, and this is very interesting, and this is your field, a separate filtration system. That's for David and Yola, a different filtration system. So a filtration system. What?
Coffee or soup. That's like the only time I really use a filter.
So I think it might. Oh, Actually, now I don't know what he's referring to. What does it mean by a filtration system? I thought it meant a filter in the, well, maybe not. I don't know. I thought it meant like different pipes, like different filtration system coming out of the water, like the way the water drains. Maybe I was wrong.
Why would that be a problem?
I think that makes sense. Different filtration systems mean plumbing. You ever heard of a sink backing up, or like if you have
different exactly. And it
goes, so you don't want them all connected to the same thing. I understand that way.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I thought it was. Maybe I'm mistaken.
You have like a garbage disposal, and like it gets filled up, and then basically you have to clean it out or something, or else.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that fancy. What's referring to? I'm not so sure. But anyways, the idea is, I think that the notion of trying to keep things separate, and I would definitely agree in terms of with the piping. Sometimes you do have, you know, things that back up. If they back up, and then you could actually have your meat get backed into your milk, and vice versa. Now that wouldn't be the end of the world. I mean, obviously, it's gross. But again, chances are it's not hot, right? If it gets backed up. So, but again, no choice. Oh, what about with bashing? But like, what about if you have only one sink? And he says, like, let's see. Put these elevated items, these metal elevated items, nifradim v'somimim. He says, that's what he says, these elevated racks. You mark them down, echad, you should put on it a misuman chalavi, sheni bisari. So basically he says, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's what he says. And then he also says, you should have two different drains. It's funny. This is also Israeli, so it could be that the way Israelis build kitchens maybe looks a little bit different than we have here. But he also uses this terminology that bepetach hayitziyah, the opening of the sink, that what should you do? You should have two drains. So maybe that's the drains with the pipes. Maybe that's where the drains coming down when they go down into the ground. Anyways, okay, fine. That's what he says. Okay, what about... those are sinks. That's something pretty common. What about counters and surfaces? You know, sometimes, and again, we live in such a world of luxury today, many of us, so we don't even understand these things. But, you know, let's face it, you know, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, right? For sure, our great-great-grandparents, what type of kitchen did they have, right? You think they had, you know, a washing sink, a flasher sink, a milker sink, a parlor sink, a fish sink, a fancy sink, you know what I mean? A guest sink, right? A children's sink, a dog sink, right? You know what I mean? Like, come on. This is, they're lucky if they had food, like they had running water in many cases going back, you know, 100 years. So we have to realize that we do live in a world of luxury. But again, the question is, what do you spend your luxury on, right? If you have the ability to do it, if you are going to spend and make a kitchen nice, so then put the extra bit of money in to make it, shall we say, a more muhudar kosher kitchen. But you can't say that one sink, oh, you're treif. You don't keep kosher. It's not true. There's ways to do it. Be careful. But, you know, there's no question that you should try. But if not, it's fine. There are definitely ways to do it, as I'm sure great-grandparents did for many, many years. Okay. But this is actually a very interesting thing, because this is where our luxury sometimes has skewed our area of halacha. What about a prep counter where you're going to cut vegetables? What about that? What about milk? And what about meat? So he says here that a surface. Let's say I have a vegetable counter. So that would not be a problem if I'm going to have my cucumbers and my tomatoes for lunch or for dinner. For breakfast, that's fine. But tonight, full disclosure, I made Israeli salad with cucumbers and tomatoes yesterday. I made more food for myself and for my family over the last 3 months than I think I've done the last 10 years. I mean, 20 years, I think, right? That's the way it goes. But tonight, what's the condition? Shishomrim alav, get their parvet. You should try and make sure that it is being cut with a parv knife. Why? Because you should try and cut all your vegetables with what's called a parve knife. That's ideal. That you're going to use now. This way you can use them, these vegetables, for meat or milk. Here's the reason why. Because when you make a salad, you're going to cut things that are harif. I don't want to do things that are harif right now. That's going to come up in, I don't remember, I saw it somewhere, a couple sections from now. But all you, there's a difference if you cut cucumbers versus if you cut onions, right? Because there's a concept in halacha called devar harif, a very, for lack of a better term, sharp food, which is a fascinating conversation because it's listed in the Gemara. And the question, it's actually mentioned in the Mishnah. And, you know, what about new vegetables that didn't exist in those days? What about if, are they, can we add to the list? Is it like just these, or are these just like examples of? That's an interesting conversation. Regardless, there's onions or radish. And by the way, even a lemon, these things you have to be very careful with. You don't want to cut a milk. You don't want to use a dairy knife to cut these, shall we say, if I cut my cheese today with a dairy knife that's hot, or my meat that's hot, and I then go about, which means it's a meat knife or a dairy knife, and then I cut a onion or a lemon later on that evening or right after, my lemon or my onion become bisari, meat or milk. And then it'd be a problem if you want to use it for... So that's why when it comes to knives especially, you want to keep a parve knife. I believe this way to go both ways or not. I don't have anything parve. To me, parve is a disaster. It just gets confusing. Yeah. Question? No. Okay. Fine. So he says, he says, when it comes to many things, wow, look at this. He even says like a salty fish. What's that called, a salty fish? A heron, right? Heron. Right, heron. Again, all these things you should really, really try and cut with a parv. This way you don't have to deal with, you know, cross-contamination. We use like a good medical term, right? Medical cross-contamination also a medical term. Okay. What time is it? Do I have enough time? Yeah, plenty of time. Good. So again, same idea. And what about another surface? What about if I have an area that is used for milk or meat? Don't cut vegetables there. Or perot, or fruit, the chomachal, or any other type of food, because you might come to eat it with the other meat or the other milk, the other type. However, the eved shekavar nichtuchu and yiskar layal, if you already cut it, you need arbun, it gets mixed in. As long as it was clean and there's no devar harif, there's nothing spicy, you could actually eat it with the other food. Meaning, if I cut my cucumbers or my tomatoes. Bye, Noah.
Take care, everyone.
Good to see you.
Bye.
If I cut my cucumbers and my tomatoes with a meat knife, in theory, if I need to, I could then use it for dairy. I don't like to do that. We try not to do it, but really, if it was kept clean, we definitely could. And by the way, we're talking about eating them together, right? We'll see what the difference is between eating them separate. But, well, for now, we're going to talk about eating them together. So, again, if the source area is clean, it would be fine to eat it, no problem, to eat it together. Okay, next. What about a source area that was cut? If, let's say, you have a dairy item that was cut on... I didn't finish the sentence. If you take a sharp food... So the examples of sharp foods they listed above, let's say, was onion. I think the onion, garlics, radish, lemons, right? Horseradish, you list here. All these things are very salty fish. All these things that are cut with a... What type would you cut it with? A meat or milk knife, right? Or even a parve knife. It becomes meat or milk. So be very careful. Now, what happens now if I cut my lemon with a milchik knife, and now I take that same knife, and what do? I gotta make sure I'm doing this properly. If a sharp food was cut on a surface used for cutting dairy or meat, even with a parve knife, so sharp food, fine. The sharp food is rendered dairy meat, fine. That's what I said. Next, if the sharp food was cut on a meat surface, oh, I see. Now, let's say I have a surface that's meat or milk, and I take a knife, and I cut on my surface. So the problem is that the knife goes into the lemon and hits the surface. So believe it or not, even if it's cold, because it's Devar Harif, that penetration of a knife, meaning a sharp knife, that blade penetration, and the sharp food hitting the counter actually makes a problem. Why? Because I have a counter surface, which is meat, and my knife, let's say, with milk, or vice versa. That would make my onion that I just cut placed in the recycling bin or the green bin, because it would not be kosher. Okay? So the knife and the surface would also have to be kosher, which is not complicated to do, but you got to kosher it. Okay? That's what's special about knives. You got to treat, you gotta be very careful when it comes to cutting things because of your, what's called the Devar Harif. Now, what about an area, by the way, that's why, what do people usually use? Cutting boards. First of all, you should use cutting boards in general, because otherwise you're going to kill your knives. And it's much easier to cut on a cutting board than it is on a countertop. Even if you have like a fancy schmancy countertop, you don't want to cut it. You want to chip it. You hack it with a knife, you come to chip it, and you come to ruin your knife. So, spending all the money on fancy countertops, spend $20 on a cheap plastic cutting board. So that's my, you know, tip, kitchen tip for today. Now, what about if I have an area, and again, we spoke with this last week ago. We spoke with the idea of having separate breads. That you should really only have, you should have parv bread. You should not have dairy breads, because people are not used to dairy breads, and they might not realize they're dairy. They'll eat it with meat, which, by the way, is true in the modern world today, although I don't know about not that many modern kids in the bakeries, but generally speaking, especially in the kosher world, nothing is dairy, nothing but dairy breads. It's like a disaster waiting to happen. So if you have a dairy bread, you should not eat the dairy bread over your area that you use to cut meat or milk, and vice versa. You should be careful to make sure that if you want to cut your bread, you got to distance it from your milk and from your meat, which is, I think, pretty, pretty obvious. Same idea when it comes to drinks as well. What's interesting to note, and this is what I always find very interesting, is that you should really choose, you should designate separate areas for milk and meat. There's no question. And you should have parv services to cut your vegetables because of the whole sharp food thing. So that's, I would say, a basic summary. But in terms of, you know, where you're going to place food, where you place food after you're done, you really don't need to have separate areas for meat or milk. You should, but there's no necessary obligation to always have separate countertops for milk and meat. Unless, of course, you're going to actually place mama's food there. That could be an issue. So again, we try, just like we mentioned last week, 2 weeks ago, you have separate dishes for milk and meat. You should also try and have different areas, surface area for milk and meat as well, especially when it comes to cutting things. More about this cutting, the Devar Harif, spicy things, in the next couple of chapters. The next topic for tomorrow is a very complicated topic. It's when you have transmission of taste through water, through pots, and other things. So we're going to get into a much more complicated sugyas in the Gemara, and hopefully you'll be able to join us again. We'll see you all tomorrow. Have a terrific Tuesday, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right, great to see you all. Thanks to see you,
Rabbi.